which he hears God speaking, and God says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And you see a mixed pronouns there, right? Singular I and the plural us. And this is another clue that we're talking about the Trinity here. God, who is three persons and one at the same time. And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Friends, I think this is another model, another template that we often have as we have experienced God's grace, his forgiveness, and he asks for a volunteer, our hand shoots up. Absolutely. Whatever I can do for you, Lord, I am your servant. I am happy to go. And so that's what we see Isaiah the prophet doing. He says, I'm here, send me. And then we hear his mission. We hear what he's supposed to go tell everybody. And it's not a good message. It's a hard message. It's a message of destruction, of hardness of heart. This is not the kind of message I've ever heard spoken at a preacher's ordination service. May you go so that people may always hear but never understand. They may always be seeing but never perceiving. This is not a good message. And yet this is what Isaiah is to take. And this message that is going to blind people and stop up their ears is just a foreshadowing of Jesus' ministry. For he will use that same language from Isaiah 6 as he talks about people's different response to his message. And many people who saw the living Lord right in front of them, who witnessed his miracles, had hard hearts. They turned and walked away, still chasing other gods, other things that they thought would make them happy. So what is it let me read this commissioning to you. It says, ever may the people be ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. And I think that as I was thinking about those words, you know, I was really thinking about how Isaiah does that. Is he, especially in the very next chapter, chapter 7, is going to be speaking plain words, understandable words, and yet they won't make sense. He's going to speak about a virgin who's going to bear a child. And she's going to name that child Emmanuel. And I think for many of the original hearers and many people for many years, they heard that, but they didn't understand it until Jesus was born. And then for those who believe, it became clear. Isaiah was prophesying about something in the future here. He was telling about the hope of God with us. That would happen 740 years later. And that's how often it was with Jesus' parables, is that those who believed in him understood that he was talking about the kingdom of God, that he was talking about salvation. But many other people just heard it as a good moral story or a nice lesson, but that was it. What I was thinking about that is just a reminder for us. When we hear God's words, we can hear it with natural ears. When we see God's word or see his action, we can see it with natural eyes, and it can go in one ear and out the other. It could be just be something else that we saw, but then we move on with our lives. But when we have the Holy Spirit within us, it crystallizes it for us. We see the living God. We see the depth of our sin. We see a Savior, beautiful and lovely. We see something that God has revealed about himself or about us or about this world, and we behold it. And we do turn, and we are changed. And that is what happened to Isaiah. If you notice, in Isaiah 6, it says, you know, may they ever be seeing and never always hearing, but never understanding, ever perceiving, but not ever seeing, but never perceiving, lest they turn and their hearts are changed. But what happened to Isaiah? He saw the Lord. He heard the words of the seraphim, holy, 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 and he repented. He changed his heart, and God had mercy on him. And he is not going to be alone. God is going to preserve a remnant along with Isaiah, people who, like Isaiah, see the Lord, hear of his grandeur, and turn from their wicked ways and follow him. And there is hope, because in the after hearing his commission, what does Isaiah say? How long? How long is this going to last? How long is this message going to fall on deaf ears? How long until Judah repents and is able to turn and behold the living God once again? And God says, until the destruction is complete, until everything's been raked over and everything's gone. And he says, he doesn't end with that that note of destruction, though, he ends it with hope. Because the very last phrase says, but as the terebinth and the oak leaf stumps, when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. There's always hope after destruction in Isaiah. He presents these dismal scenes, but says, and yet God is still moving, and God is still going to do something in their midst. There will be a remnant. There will be a turning back to the Lord. And so, friends, we can be encouraged by that. And also, looking at a whole book of Isaiah, realize that that shoot, that holy seed, he too is the Messiah. It is Jesus that he is pointing to. I think I have one slide here. Let's see if I can, Bob, maybe you can help me advance that. Ah, there it is. This is from chapter 11, so a couple chapters to come. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. So what was God looking for? A fruitful vine, a good fruit of the character of God and justice and righteousness to be born. That did not happen. So God is going to destroy that vine, but there will be a new vine. And friends, that new vine is the vine of Jesus. That is what we are connected with. That is what is bearing fruit in our church, in our lives. It's not us. It's Jesus and the work that he is doing. And there is always hope. Although things may go bad, there in the end, God redeems and God saves. So what do I want us to remember from this message? Well, let's just remember this. Let us pray for soft hearts to receive God's word. Let's pray for eyes that see and perceive, and ears that understand God's word. And we need the Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts. And so may we, like Isaiah, behold the sovereign God, be cut quick to our hearts, and receive the cleansing atonement that Christ gives us on the cross, that his death forgives. He said, Father, forgive them. And his actions did just that. And may we, therefore, be faithful to the message God has put in our hearts. If that bears fruit tomorrow, good. If I say, Isaiah, that message, our being faithful, doesn't bear fruit in our lifetime, so be it. But in all things, may God's holiness and grandeur be lifted up and honored. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we do give you thanks that you have allowed Isaiah to see things that our eyes have not seen, but that we might secondarily see them through his eyes. We thank you so much that his ears heard your voice, that he heard your holiness, and he passed that on so our ears can understand the reality of this world and what is true and right. We thank you, O Lord, that he obeyed his commission, that when he was sent to preach, he did it, even though no one heard or understood at the time. Thank you that our hearts are being opened by your Holy Spirit, that we might perceive his message and give glory to you. And may we, like Isaiah, be those who are found faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.